Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I found it interesting that last week I prepared a message to preach and I snowed a foot of snow. And then, as Tim said, we talked about just me going ahead and preaching this week. And then all of a sudden, the rumors of another nor'easter brewing and possibly could shut down again. So we can maybe possibly blame Tim for all this crazy weather we're having. I don't know. Now, welcome. It's great to see you all here this morning. As Tim said, my name's Brad. I'm the family youth minister here. And we are currently in our series of Faith Over Fear. And this message here that today is going to be our last one in this series. So in his memoir, Hillbilly Elegy, a memoir of a family and culture in crisis, J.D. Vance writes of his past and how he grew up. He grew up in the Rust Belt town of Ohio, and his family origin is from the hills of eastern Kentucky. J.D. Vance writes of how his upbringing was one filled with struggles, social isolation, poverty, and addiction. And he would even himself dabble in the drug addiction area. J.D.'s biological father was never around. His mother struggled with heroin and opioid addiction, and his grandfather was also an alcoholic. J.D. would experience some abuse from his mother, which would lead him to spend most of his childhood growing up underneath his grandparents. But J.D. Vance didn't let this past define him or hold him back from what was in store for him. And J.D. Vance went on to join the Marines. He achieved a law degree at Harvard Law School. And who would have guessed that this young man from Ohio would actually become a sitting vice president of the United States? Now, as I said, we're currently in our series of Faith Over Fear. In the last 3 weeks, we've been taking a look at prominent figures in Scripture and looking at how they lived their lives and how specifically they lived a life of faith over fear. You know, the first week, we took a look at the fears Timothy faced in the New Testament church where he was at. And Paul's words to him in 2 Timothy are actually our key verse for the series. In chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." We went on to look at the fears Joshua faced at leading the Israelites after Moses. We looked at Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they were exiled to Babylon. The week before last week, it was Abraham and his greatest fear of losing his son. But no matter how much he feared that, he still trusted God and had faith in him. You know, this week, we're going to wrap up our series by looking at the Apostle Paul. Now, if you spent any time studying the Apostle Paul, you know that he was definitely no stranger to struggles, to persecution, and even suffering. Yet even in the midst of all this, he still remained faithful and he became a giant of the faith. And reading about Paul's life, it can be easy for us to think that he may not have had anything to fear or anyone that he was afraid of. But I believe that Paul, being a human, just like we are, was not exempt from the human condition. And he felt all these emotions, and I believe that he even had fear. And even in amongst all those sufferings and trials that Paul faced, he had to learn, just like we do, how to deal with those things in a healthy, Christ-like way. Take a look at Paul's words to the Philippians in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Now, Paul had to learn how to be content, no matter what it was that he was facing. He had to learn how to have that peace of Christ in his life, even in the midst of severe persecution, even up to the point of the threat of the loss of his life. I think to truly understand the significance of Paul and the example that he sets for us today, we have to understand where he came from. The person that he was before he was converted. And we know Paul, known as Saul, in the early part of his life before his conversion. He was born to a Roman father and a Jewish mother. So he's a Roman citizen, but Paul would lean into his mother's Jewish heritage. And Paul would come to learn that righteousness was to be found in the adherence of Jewish laws and customs. Excuse me. Paul describes himself to the Philippians in chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Verses 5 and 6. He says, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the people of the tribe Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. Luke would write of Paul in his writing of the book of Acts, where Paul was present at the stoning of Stephen. And he wasn't just present there, but he actually approved of the execution of Stephen. And Luke went on to describe Paul in Acts 8:3. He writes, but Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. See, Paul wasn't just struggling with sin, whether it's gossip or whatever that might be. He was a man that was actively trying to destroy the church, to tear it down, to stop the spread of the church. He became very instrumental in the persecution of the church. But Paul's life took a 180-degree turn after encountering Jesus in a miraculous way on his trip to Damascus. Paul would not only go on to stop persecuting the church, but he would also become the one who would actually go and spread the gospel among the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. We read in the Lord's words to Ananias about Paul in Acts 8:15 to 16 that would really describe Paul, the context of Paul's journeys, where he said, he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Paul's encounter with Jesus on the way to Damascus really redefined who he was. Paul no longer who he was before. He would go on 3 different missionary journeys, spreading the gospel message and encouraging believers to live that life of faith. But it wasn't without its challenges. Paul would encounter severe persecution. He'd be threatened. He was even imprisoned multiple times for a little over a total of 5 years. And then he would eventually be executed. But as we read over Paul's account, it's really kind of hard to see where Paul might have been fearful of anyone or of physical harm. Because no matter what happened, Paul seemed to just bounce right back up on his feet and continue. For example, in Acts 19, we read of a story instance where Paul was in Lystra, and he was actually stoned. And they drug him out of Lystra, left presumably for dead. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that if that was me, and I got up from that, I would probably turn and run away as fast as I possibly could and as far as I could. But that wasn't Paul. Paul got back up off his feet, brushed the dust off his pants, and turned right back and went right back into Lystra. Talk about bold. Paul lived a life of faith over fear. But did Paul have fear? I think he did. And I think if we take into consideration the past that Paul has, where he came from, who he was before his conversion, and we take into consideration the boldness that we see in him and going forward and spreading the gospel, and some of his last words that he wrote before he was executed in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I think we can ask a question. Could Paul's greatest fear possibly have been not fighting that fight well or finishing the race that God has called him to? Maybe to some degree in the back of his mind was the first part of his life where he did nothing but try to tear a church apart. Maybe Paul felt like there was so much in his path, in his past, that he felt like there was so much that he owed Christ for changing his life that maybe that scale was stacked against him. In Romans 7, we even read of Paul openly admitting to struggling with the sin that just kept hanging on. That even though he wanted to do what was right, he couldn't, he didn't. Romans 7, 15 to 19, we read, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Can anybody else relate to what Paul's talking about here? Having that desire to live out that good Christ-like life, to do the things that Christ is calling us for, but we just, those things in our past just seem to come back in instances where we don't know why or what, but we end up doing those things. Maybe it's something that we've been trying to get over and overcome in our lives, but no matter what happens, it just keeps hanging on. It can be kind of demoralizing, can't it? It can kind of make me feel like I'm a failure, that I'm failing. Maybe that I'm unworthy to carry out the calling that God has called me to, like I'm not good enough. Or maybe that I don't even have business talking about the very things I can't get right in my own life. I think that it would be easy for us to let this stuff, our past, our sin, the things we struggle with, to consume us to the point where they hold us back from what God has in store for us. Paul very easily could have let his past or his sin prevent him from fighting that good fight and running the race, keeping the faith, but he didn't. You know, just like Paul, J.D. Vance could have let his past, where he came from, the struggles he faced, prevent him from becoming a vice president. But he chose not to. He chose to press on, to press forward. So how did Paul come to the point of being able to become this giant of the faith that we read in the New Testament? How was he able to come to the point at the end of his life where he actually said, "I have fought that fight, I've finished the race, and I've kept the faith"? And I believe that as we wrap our series, Paul is a great example for us how we too can live that life of faith over fear. I think we see Paul learned how to be content no matter what circumstance he was facing. He understood that it wasn't due to anything within himself, within his own abilities or strength. We read it in Philippians 4:13 where he says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Paul understood that as long as he stayed focused on Christ and constantly leaned into and relied on Christ, that he would give him everything that he needed to be able to face the circumstances that came by. He understood that it wasn't his own abilities that carried him through. I think that one of the pitfalls of the human nature is that sometimes we come to these circumstances, these hard times in our lives, and we think, "I got this. I can do this." But when in reality, we don't. We don't have it. How often do we do those things, make a big mess of things, and then turn to God and say, "God, you got to help me. You got to do this for me. You got to fix it." And we cry out for help. But what if we flip that script? What if instead of trying it on our own first, we reach out to God? We ask God for help first. We lean in and press into him and ask him for the strength and the help to do it. Now, just like Chad said earlier, it's like our lives are going to be filled with times that are very hard. We're going to face those times of suffering and persecution that are going to try us. You know, just because we become a Christ follower doesn't mean that we're going to, our lives from there on out are going to be nothing but green meadows and a bed of roses. Scripture is quite very clear that it's quite the opposite. There are going to be times where we're tested. Our strength is going to be tested. Our perseverance is going to be tested. And even times where our faith will be tested. To be able to fight the good fight, to have the faith over fear, and not let these times consume us, I believe that we need to learn, just like Paul did, to lean into the goodness, the love, and the power that can only be found in Christ. Paul also understood that who he was before his conversion was not who he was in Christ. His past and his sin no longer identified him. Look at what Paul writes in Romans 6, 6 through 7. He says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin." Paul understood that he had been set free from his past, that he can freely pursue Christ and what it is that he has in store for him without the fear of his past and his sin holding him back. Just like Paul, we all need to not let our past define who we are becoming in Christ. When we accept Christ in our lives, we are redeemed by the blood that was shed on the cross, that was poured out as a gift for us. Our sin no longer identifies who we are. It no longer prevents us from becoming what Christ wants us to be. His calling for us, where we're to go. And it doesn't prevent us to do what it is that he has prepared us for. You know, I may not be a J.D. Vance or definitely not an Apostle Paul. I may not even have the things in my past like they do, but I can relate to having struggles and a past that could hold me back. The fear of my past actually almost kept me out of getting into vocational ministry. I was terrified of it because I felt that somehow my past identified me and that I wasn't smart enough or good enough. I struggled with an inadequacy. And I could have, if I allowed that to consume me and to define me, I could have gone a different way. My life could have been completely different, one that was leading more farther away from Christ than to him. Maybe you too can relate to Paul's story somehow. Paul is also a great example for us into leaning and pressing into the one who gives us that strength and the courage to be able to face what life throws at us, the struggles, to be content no matter what we face. Look at Paul's words to the Philippians again. "For I have learned in whatever situation that I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need." So what does this look like for us today? How can we live a life of faith over fear? By leaning and pressing into Christ, just like Paul did in every circumstance. And I believe that involves being intentional and developing a deeper relationship with Christ. You know, just like any relationship, it takes time. It takes intentional investment into it. The more we invest into it, the more it prospers. So if we want to know the contentment that Paul is talking about, we've got to make time to pray, make time to say thank you, and make time to just sit silently before God and listening to what it is that he has to say to us. I also believe that it involves investing time in the Bible. You know, Scripture is the primary way that God shows us how to live our lives. It's a guidebook to life. Every circumstance that we're going through, Scripture helps us understand how to face that. But it also involves us putting into practice what we read in Scripture. You know, one of the ways that our faith is actually strengthened is by putting it to work. You know, I use the analogy in my head about the weightlifter. You know, a weightlifter can sit down and read all day long about how to lift weights. That doesn't make him any stronger. The only way he gets stronger is he gets on that bench and he bench presses, or he squats weights, or whatever he does. He's putting into practice. And that's the same way with our faith. I believe that as we put it into work, it gets stronger. And lastly, I believe that it involves community. We are created for community. We're not meant to journey this journey by ourselves. We actually strengthen one another as we meet together. So making church a priority, not just to say I've gone to church, but there's something special about coming together regularly to worship together, to learn about God's word together. You know, it may not be church, it may be a Bible study, it may be just meeting together at a home for dinner with one another, sharing each other's burdens. As we walk through this life together and facing our struggles together, we help each other, we mutually edify one another. Just as Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. You know, this series has been extremely encouraging to me. I hope it has been as encouraging to you guys as it has to me. There are things, we're not going to get it perfect, but I hope that over the last couple weeks, that we all can put into practice the example that we see in these prominent figures in Scripture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for the examples that we read about in your word. Father, help us to have open minds and open hearts that we can receive what it is that you have for us and be able to put it into practice. Father, help us keep our eyes solely focused on you, even in those dark, hard times where we're really struggling. Father, help us lean into you and to allow you to fill us with the strength and the courage to go forward with what it is that you're calling us to. Father, be with us this week and in the weeks to come. And we pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.